Bava Metzia, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Yud Aleph, 7:11, the last of the Perek, and really something that's kind of off-topic. Since in the end of the last Mishnah we said that a Shomer, or for that matter, a person who is depositing with a Shomer, can make conditions regarding their relationship and the terms of their agreement that are not consistent with the basic rules you set forth regarding what a Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shol are obligated for, etc., and that would be binding. So our mission here is going to talk about making conditions in general. So conditions, called tana'im, stipulations, in the Torah, basically, so the basic principle, and our mission is going to set it out right away, is that kol ha'masna al mashakasub b'torah tana'u batal. Anyone who makes a stipulation regarding a transaction, some sort of legal event which takes effect, and he makes conditions regarding that transaction or that legal event that are contrary to what the Torah said, so then those conditions are simply not binding. Let me give you an example. So when one gets married, so that the event called Kedushin, which makes one someone's wife and restricted to the rest of the world, is affected. One way is through Kesef. You give a ring, let's say, and you say, Harei at mekudesh li b'tabaat zu, I'm giving you this ring, and you'll be my wife. Be mekudesha to me through this taking of this ring and transfer rights of marriage to me. Now, the Torah says that one is obligated to his wife to provide her with, amongst other things, what's called ona, which is intimacy rights, the rights for the wife to the man, intimate time with her husband. Now, the Torah says he has to provide that, and therefore, if a person would say, Hareyat mekudesha li, b'tabadzu, Al Tanai, or Al Manas, making a condition, he makes a stipulation that I'm exempt from providing you with Ona. I don't have to provide you with that intimate time. So the rule is, the Torah says he is obligated to, and therefore his condition is not binding. So they'll be married, and he has to provide her with Ona, it's simple as that. He can't make a condition which runs afoul of the Torah. Now, if it wouldn't be for another section of the Torah, really, conditions in general shouldn't be binding. That's like sort of the step one of the framework of the Torah. Like, if the Torah says things happen, so who says you are even entitled to make any conditions whatsoever? However, a person can make conditions when he does various legal events, and that's learned out from the story and the particulars of the phraseology of the story when the tribes of God and Menashe, they don't want to cross over into Eretz Yisrael proper. They want to stay on the Transjordan. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, if you get to your chalutzim, you're at the front of the battle, and you come across and help the rest of your brethren conquer the land of Israel, so then you can have this land, and if not, then not. So that those conditions, that if you do this, then this, if not, then not, is the base to say that there's such a thing as making conditions. And based on the technicalities of that discussion, the halacha ends up saying that you sort of have to mirror the way in which those conditions were set up. I don't want to get too much of the details because it's like just one mission will take us far off topic. But that's the idea. And therefore, when one makes conditions which are not contributing to the Torah, so then he can define how and if his legal events are binding. So a person could give a get to a woman and say, here's your get, you'll be divorced to me as of this minute, if I don't come back in the next 30 days. So that will be then, in fact, effective, because it's not binding unless the conditions are fulfilled, because there's no violation of the Torah by making such a condition that it's effective in 30 days if I don't come back. Or effective now if I don't come back in 30 days, I should say. Either way, just to be consistent with what I said before. Now, in the previous mission, we said that the Shomrim, so if I say, I'll pay you money to watch my dog, and you say, okay, I'll be, that's a Shomer Sachar, right? A paid watchman. But if something happens with your dog, if it's Ganev or Aveda, whatever the story is, I'm not paying you back for your dog. Okay, I'll watch your dog, but if something happens, I'm not paying you no matter what. And if you agree to that, then fine, if not, not. So you can agree to that, in which case, it'll work. The reason why that it'll work, meaning that if I become a Shomer and if something goes wrong with the dog, I don't have to pay, is because there's no mitzvah for me, no obligation for me to undertake to become the custodian of your dog. So therefore, it's sort of a financial agreement between us. And when it comes to financial agreements, the halacha is the parties can stipulate how they how the religion should work. On the other extreme, let's say a person says, Hareini Nazir. A person says, I accept upon myself to be a Nazir. The Nazir is a person who has basically three kinds of restrictions on him. He can't become exposed to tumma from a corpse, he can't cut his hair, and he can't basically eat grape products, like wine. So if a person says, Hareini Nazir, he becomes a Nazir. If he says, Hareini Nazir, Amanas, on condition that I'll be allowed to drink wine during my Naziris period, so then Tana'u Batal, his condition is just annulled, because the Torah says that a Nazir may not drink wine. And remarkably, the din is he will be a Nazir. He just becomes a Nazir and can't drink wine. Even though he sort of made it sound like it was in his mind clear that he's not agreeable to become a Nazir if he can't drink wine, but he is one anyways. The reason why is because, like I said before, if a person says, I'm a Nazir, then he's a Nazir. Who said he could ever make conditions? So the Torah says you could make conditions, but only if they kind of conform to the rubric that was set out by the God of Menashe with Moshe Rabbeinu kind of rubric. And in this case, if it's going against what the Torah says, so it just doesn't fit that framework, and therefore, it's like he said nothing. So we kind of cross out the part of his commitment, which had a stipulation which is against the Torah, and he's left with just the commitment to become a Nazir, so he's bound to be a Nazir. It's quite a difficult thing to understand, but that's how it's going to work out. So that's basically the framework of our mission over here. Interestingly, Lahalacha, the other extreme now, it says that in addition to a husband being obligated in ona, of intimate time with his wife, he's also obligated in sha'ar and ksus, to provide her with food and clothing. Now, the halacha ends up deciding that even though the Torah says he has to provide food and clothing, since those are financial commitments in nature, if a woman says, listen, I want to be your wife, I want to get married, and I'm agreeable to that, you don't have to pay for my clothing, I'll take care of it myself, or my food, or both, so then indeed, that marriage would be binding. In contrast, the ona part is not binding because that's not a financial thing, that's like a physical issue, that being the case. So if he says, I'm not providing shar or ksus, he is still married and exempt from those things if she agrees. If he says, I'm not providing ona, he's still married, but he must provide anyways. Okay, that's the basic gist of the Mishnah here. Conception, the big framework. Here it says inside, Kol ha'masna al masha kasa b'Torah tana'u batal. You make conditions that are contravening what the Torah says, then your actions, your legal actions, still are binding anyways, and your conditions are annulled. V'chol tana'u sheyesh ma'asa b'tchilaso. The way the Bartner learns it, we're talking about if you have an issue which has both conditions and a physical act. So let's say giving the ring and making a stipulation. So then, Tanao batal, if you make conditions after the fact, meaning you first do the act and then you make conditions, that's certainly not binding. Many learn it's even more than that if you make two statements, that the second one doesn't kick in if you've already committed the first one, but let's just keep to the first shot, very simple. So it's too late. Once you've done your act, you can't make conditions after the fact. V'chol she'efshalo l'kaimo b'sofo, any condition which could possibly be fulfilled in the future, v'hisnalav mitchilaso, and you make that condition from the outset, then tanao kayam, then that is a binding condition, meaning, but if it could not be fulfilled in the future, it's an impossibility, then the condition would not be binding. So for example, if I say, here's your get on condition that you fly to the moon, so then she got her get, and the flying to the moon business is just disregarded because it's not a real thing. We assume he's trying to make her crazy for no good reason, and therefore it's disregarded because no one can fly to the moon. Okay, and that's that. The actual halacha l'maisa is kind of complicated beyond the scope of what I can do, more than what I said already. But with that, we finish the seventh perek, Baruch Hashem, and now we go into the eighth perek, Hashoel.